Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word that transforms our life. So, Father, today we welcome your gift of Holy Spirit to teach us. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. And as we have learned before in our studies here, that the Word of God is the only written word that we have where the author is always present. You are here, Holy Spirit. You inspired men. You inspired them and gave them understanding to write down these words. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We need revelation. We need understanding. Father, the cry of my heart today is that your word would reach a place deep inside of us. And from this place, God, you would give us even deeper understanding of your word and who you are, Christ. And it's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Okay, Isaiah 53:10, the New King James Translation says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Understanding why we sow into resurrection. We as a fellowship sow a seed into wherever the Lord tells us to sow it. And we give this seed a name. We sow this seed because of our appreciation, our remembering the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But why do we really understand the depth of what we're doing? Do we really understand what it means to sow a seed into the resurrection? Isaiah 53:10 again. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." When we say Lord here, we're talking about God the Father. Mm-hmm. And him is Christ. That's even hard to understand right there. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. And Jesus being Lord himself, it pleased the Lord for himself to be. It pleased Jesus that he was going to be bruised. In the garden, he said, "Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." It pleased the Father. It pleased the Godhead. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, Christ. He has put him to grief. The Lord has put the Christ or Jesus to grief. When you, Lord God, make Jesus' soul an offering for sin. Here's the key point. He shall see his seed. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. God the Father shall see the Son's seed. God the Father shall prolong the Son's days. And the pleasure of the Lord, the pleasure of God the Father, shall prosper in his hand, in his Son's hand. He shall see his seed. This is what started all of my thought process concerning the seed. The New Living Translation says, "He," meaning God, "will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands." He, the Lord Jesus, will have many descendants. God the Father will have many descendants too. He, Jesus, will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his, meaning Christ's, hands. So this led me to John 12. Let's look at that. John 12. I'm telling you. He shall see his seed. He shall see his seed. John 12, starting at verse 20. We're going to read 20 through 26. Okay, this is, Jesus is speaking this right at the time of the feast. This was 6 days before the Passover celebration. In verse 20, some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." Okay, I'm going to stop right there. "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." What was the only reason they paid a visit to these disciples? Who do they want to meet?
Jesus.
We are in the greatest time right now. The greatest time right now to introduce people to Jesus. It's happening all over the world, y'all. In the middle of what's going on right now, we have the prime opportunity to see a harvest. That is why it's no wonder that our God is perfect. We know that. That right after we have just celebrated Passover, these days we're going into what? The Feast of the Harvest. The Feast of the Gathering. Yes. That's not a coincidence. That's not, God didn't, there's no coincidence with God. God didn't plan it as a coincidence. As we get into the study today, you're going to see why Passover has to come before the ingathering. You're going to see what it really means. What Passover, what this seed really means and what happens as a result of it. Okay, so we want to meet Jesus. So Philip told Andrew about it, about what these visitors said, these Greeks who came to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. Philip went and told Andrew about what they said, and they met together. They went together to ask Jesus. Now look at Jesus' response. What's the request?
We want to meet Jesus.
That's the request. Now look at, I marvel at how the Lord responds to things that are asked of him. He replies, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me." I want to meet Jesus. It was the request. But then Jesus begins to say these words, "It's time for me to come into my glory." And how's he going to come into his glory? He's going to be this kernel of wheat that's going to be planted and died, and it's going to produce something. That's how he's going to come into his glory. And besides that, that's the only way people are going to meet Jesus. As I get into this, you're going to see it. You're going to understand it. I know you're going to see it, and you're going to understand it. God help us to see it. The only way anyone can ever meet Jesus is, first of all, something has to go through a death. And in the death, something is produced. And out of that production comes a harvest. Jesus said that is the only way that anyone is going to ever come to meet him. That is the only way anyone is going to ever be drawn to Jesus. That is the only way we're going to ever experience the harvest that we are in right now in the world. Now, I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation, and we're going to break this down. We're going to look at this. It's interesting that Jesus says something's got to die. Something's got to die, and something's got to be reproduced. It's not about see me, see me, see me. You know, it wasn't about we want to go see Jesus. Jesus is going to a deeper depth of understanding here. It's not about you physically. You know, it's about people want to see Jesus. They want to really meet him. Y'all, Jesus, people want to really meet him. They just don't want to see him. They want to really meet him. How are they going to meet him? They're going to meet him through us.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. Verse 20. Now there were... Hallelujah, make sure I got my right spot. Now there were a number of followers from among the nations who were worshippers at the feast. They went to Philip, who came from the village of Bethsaida in Galilee, and they asked him, "Would you take us to see Jesus? We want to see him." So Philip went to find Andrew, and they both went to inform Jesus. Jesus replied to them, "Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Let me make this clear. Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies. Because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died." That's why we sow into resurrection. All because one grain died. The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever. If you want to be my disciple, follow me and you will go where I am going. If you follow him, you will go where he is going. Do we understand that? If we follow him, we will go where he is going. If we go where he is going, there's surely going to be someone there who is going to say, "I need to meet Jesus." Yeah. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon your life. The New Living Translation says, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But in its death, it will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." Passion Translation, once again, Jesus says, "Let me make it clear." The Aramaic translation of that statement right there, "I tell you the truth," or you hear it in the Word of God, it says, "Truly I tell you." Jesus says, some translations say, "Truly I say to you." The New Living Translation says, "I tell you the truth." The Passion Translation says, "Let me make it clear." The true Aramaic translation says it this way. Jesus is saying, "Timeless truth I say to you." Timeless truth. Truth is timeless, y'all. Facts are temporal. Are you understanding that? But truth is timeless. Truth is eternity. Truth is eternal. Who lives in eternity? God. Truth, when we speak the truth, it goes out into eternity forever and ever and ever. Jesus is literally saying in the Aramaic, "Timeless truth I say to you. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies. Because it then sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died." There's a commentary in the Passion Translation about the one grain. One grain is Jesus Christ who is predicting, he's saying here he will die within days to come. He will be offered as a sacrifice for sin on Calvary's cross. He will drop into the ground as a grain of wheat and bring forth a great harvest of seeds. Come on. He will bring forth a great harvest of what? Seed. As long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest. The seed is in itself and it produces after what?
It's a vine.
Okay, but it's about to get rich. Are y'all ready for this? No, you're not ready. You're really not ready for this. You're not ready for this. Let me tell you right now, you are not ready for this. But you are going to get ready, aren't you? John 7:42. We're going to talk about the seed. We fix and talk about the seed. Unless one seed dies, that's what it means, a kernel of wheat. That's a seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless one seed dies, if it remains to itself, it's going to be nothing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
But if one seed dies, it's going to do what? It's going to produce a great harvest of seeds. That's why we sow into resurrection. That's why we sow into resurrection. Okay, let's keep on going. John 7:42. John is quoting Micah 5:2. In Micah 5:2, the Messiah is called the seed of David. There we go. The seed of David. Jesus is the seed of David.
Yes.
So who is the seed here? Jesus. Jesus is speaking of himself. We know that. But Jesus is the seed. But do we really understand what it means to be a seed and when he says it's going to produce after its own kind? Do we really understand that? Then 1 John 3:9. Those who have been born again have God's seed in them. Those who have been born again have God's seed in them.
Yes.
The King James says God's seed remains in them. There's a seed in you.
Mm-hmm.
The seed of God is in you.
Mm-hmm.
The seed of God is in you.
Mm-hmm.
The seed has to be sown. If the seed in you remains to itself, that's all it is. But until it is sown and it dies to itself and lives to the will of God, and doesn't cherish its being the seed, having the seed, just that it has the seed of God inside of it, but abandons its life to that seed, to the will of the seed in it, then it will produce after the kind of the seed that is in it.
Amen.
King James says God's seed remains in them. Okay. Isaiah 53:10. Once again, the seed. Let's look at this, the seed. He shall see his seed. The seed there in the number there in the Hebrew is 2233 for seed. It's Z-E-R-A, Zera. Z-E, sounds like Sarah a little bit, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something though? She had a seed implanted in her by the Holy Spirit. She did.
Yes.
She had a seed from God implanted inside of her.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Mary. Just like Mary. That was divine. That was divine because let's go on and study and we'll find out why I said what I said. Zerah means fruit, plant, sowing time, posterity, and posterity is descendants. He shall see his fruit. He shall see his planting or his plants. He shall see his sowing time is what Isaiah is saying here. He shall see his posterity or his descendants. It comes from another word. The 2233 comes from another word, 2232, Zara, Z-A-W / R-A-H, emphasis on the R-A-H. It means to conceive a seed. It means literally to conceive a seed. It means to disseminate. To disseminate means to scatter widely. Widely, yes. To scatter, to spread abroad, to propagate, to produce an offspring. Okay? And these are just my thoughts here. He shall not only be the seed, but he shall conceive seed to propagate or produce an offspring. Well, thank you for the overwhelming response. He shall see his seed. God is saying, the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, shall see his seed. He shall see his fruit. He shall see his plant. He shall see his sowing time or the prosperity. He shall see his descendants.
Mm.
It means literally to conceive seed.
Mm.
Think about it. Not only is he the seed, but he's conceiving seed. He shall conceive seed. In himself, Christ is the seed, but in the seed is the seed. He shall conceive seed. Remember, we just have to think on that one for a while. To disseminate, he shall scatter widely or spread abroad or propagate or produce an offspring. Okay, so 1 John 3:9. He is quoting Micah when he says the seed of God. Okay, then John 7:42. God's seed remains in him. Those who are born again do not make a practice of sinning because the seed of God remains in them. Okay, and that seed is perfect and holy. Okay, that seed is 4690. My God. I mean, you can't teach this every place. Everybody's not going to receive this. They're not going to receive this. They're not going to receive it. I'm going to tell you. But seed 4690 means sperma. Hello? Mm-hmm. In the Greek, it means sperma. S-P-E-R-M-A. Sperma. Sperm.
Yes.
And that 4690 comes from 4687. It means something sown, including male sperm, offspring. Carmen, you're going to love this one. Mm-hmm. A remnant. As if kept over for planting. Why does God keep and preserve a remnant? Because they're going to be planted again.
Yes.
Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Why does a farmer save seed and not eat all of his crop, but he lets some of it dry that it might produce seed? Why? For our new planting. My God, the seed of David. The seed of David is the remnant.
Yes.
In Christ himself is the remnant of God. Something sown, including male sperm, offspring, a remnant as if kept over for planting. The remnant is kept for planting. My Lord, my Lord, the seed produces after its own kind. 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. Holy Spirit, help me. I am not getting this across as I need to get it across. Please help me, Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed. You weren't born again of a corruptible seed, but we were born again by an incorruptible seed. So I look up that word seed again. It's 4701. Once again, it's spora. Sounds like sperm. Spora. S-P-O-R-A. It means a sowing. Or parentage. A parentage. You were born again by a parentage. God is now your Abba. God is now your parent. You literally, when you were born again, got a brand new parent.
Yeah.
You got born again, sown into a new parentage, a new lineage.
Yes.
You were born again by an incorruptible parent.
Yes. A new bloodline.
And not only were you born again by an incorruptible parent, you've been given the assignment of parentage. The seed in you has given you the assignment to be an incorruptible parent. I am talking about spiritually producing after your own kind, to be a parent. Oh, my Lord. Mm-mm. Not only are you born again and got the seed of God in you, but you've got the ability in the seed of God in you to conceive that seed that is in you wants to conceive something. That seed that is in you. It's the same thing it is for us that it was for the Lord Jesus. If we just remain to ourselves and don't sow ourselves out into the world, out into the community, out into where God has placed us, if we don't sow ourselves there, then the seed remains to itself and all it will ever be is a kernel of wheat. Mm. All you'll ever be is a Christian that has the seed of God in you, but if you do something with the seed of God in you has the ability to conceive. Even in when it is in you, it is crying out. It is crying out to conceive and to produce after its own kind. Even a seed in the natural, you drop it out there in the dirt and it's going to do something.
Yes.
It has a desire within it to do what God put it in to do. How much more this incorruptible seed that we've been, that is placed inside of us is crying out. That's why the body of Christ has become stagnant. That's why God is breaking through the walls of the church. And we've heard the prophet say that even he is bringing judgment on seeker-friendly churches. The church is never meant to be a place where we draw people in. The church is meant to be a place where we go out to where they are.
Yes.
We come in to be built up to study his word that we might do what? Go out. The church is not the... We've made the church the end of the means.
Mm-hmm.
The church is not the end of the means. The church is the means by which we get to the end.
Yes.
And the end is to gather in the harvest. But there is an that's why the church has become stagnant, because they're not letting the seed out. The seed that is in them that has the capacity to conceive and wants to see, it's conceiving, is crying out to conceive, is not being allowed to break out of them into others and to minister to others.
The church has almost become cultish.
Yes.
You're in your own compound.
No.
And you're not supposed to be that.
That's
what I'm saying. It's almost cultish.
Yes.
Cultish is, we build a compound. This is where we meet and gather. And if you don't meet up to our limitations, you're not allowed here. That's cultish.
That's not.
And we're supposed to be out.
Correct. That's why for this fellowship, it is so different. That's why I know that's one of the reasons we are seeking God. We are crying out to God. We know God hears us. We've been sowing. We've been watering. We've been faithful to what God has asked us to do. But I feel like that it is so different for us that God does not want us to get ahead of what he has for us, because it is so different. We are so different. And he's calling out other congregations to be so different. Y'all, I don't want to go back. I don't want to be church as usual.
No.
I don't want to go back to what I've known in the past to be church as usual. I want to be what Jesus is talking about here. I want to be that one kernel of wheat that's willing to die to myself, that's willing to die to abandon what I want to what God wants for me and for this body. I see your hand. I'll get to you in just a minute. Let me finish this one. I promise I will get to you. Okay? So let's look at this. Having been born again, you've got to know what's in you. Look at this. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. That seed means, I just shared that with you, sowing a parentage. You were born again and to come into a parentage. To be a distributor, to be an ambassador, to be a parent, to be a spiritual parent to others. Okay, incorruptible is 862 in the Greek. Aphiemi, A-F-E-E, emphasis on the E-E, A-Y-M-E-E, for those who want to know. Number 862, Aphiemi. It means undecaying in essence and continuance. Immortal. Undecaying in essence. The very essence of this seed is that it's undecaying and it always continues. This seed continues on and on and on and on and on. It's immortal. And it comes from that 862 62 comes from another word that means strength. This seed that is God Himself that He's placed in us. This seed is God's strength. It's that same passage, y'all. It's that same word that translates where one of David's mighty men had to stand in the field of barley to keep the enemy from coming to steal that field of barley from the Israelites. The Word of God says he stood there with the sword in his hand and he stood all day and defended that field against the enemy. And they literally had to pry his hand off the sword. They had to pry his hand. He stood there with that sword and defended. That speaks prophetically of God's Word that comes out of our mouth to defend. And his name, Eleazar, means strength. It means God's strength. That's the same root word that this word comes from when it says strength. God's strength. God's strength. You've been born of an incorruptible seed. You have been born God. I mean, y'all. If God Almighty abides in us, and He does, what should I ever fear?
Right.
What should I ever be afraid of? Why would I never know that I would be prosperous and successful? Not in the efforts of my hand, but with the blessing of His upon my life. That whatever He called me to do in life would be prospered and blessed by Him. If the seed of God, what did Jesus say there? If you want to be my disciple, follow me. And where you follow me, that's where I'll be. And that's where the Father will be, and the Father's favor will be upon you. But see, the thing is that to be a disciple and be blessed by God, you got to follow Him.
Mm-hmm.
You got to follow where He leads. You can't say, this is where I'm going now. God bless where I'm going. Lord, you got to follow Him. And if we're with Him, doesn't it make sense? If we're with Him, then we certainly are following Him. And if we're following Him, He's with us. Doesn't that make sense? And if He's with us, then that's where the blessing is. Let me rewrap this, and I'm going to get to you, Robert, I promise. Unless a kernel of seed dies, that's all it will be. It's just a kernel of seed. But once it is put into the ground and it dies, then it produces a great harvest. This is why we are sowing into prison fellowship ministries. Do y'all get it?
Amen.
We're sowing a resurrection seed. It's not an offering.
No.
It is a sowing of a seed. We are the seed of God, you and I, and we are sowing the seed, Jesus Christ, to produce a seed there. And the seed that is produced there will give an offspring, will have an offspring or descendants, and it will produce more seed there. Do you see the power?
Amen.
And we just got to understand what we're doing. Y'all, we're doing something very powerful here.
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
We are sowing into a place that the Word of God, the seed of God, is going to be taught and preached there. People are going to be born again. And what's going to happen when they get born again? The seed of the living God, the incorruptible seed of God, lives inside of them. And they are going to have the capacity or the ability to produce after their own kind and produce more seed.
Yes.
This is the way it continues, yes. In essence, it's undecaying. This seed that is inside of us is undecaying, y'all. It doesn't lose its strength. It doesn't lose its power. So because of one seed, we, the seed of Him, sow into a field that seed may be produced and reproduced after its own kind. No wonder He said, y'all, no wonder He said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember the word remembrance? Mark it down. It's a memorial.
Yes.
In essence, to abide. Remember all the words that remembrance mean in the Greek and what they mean in the New Testament? It's a memorial. It's a record. It's to mark. It's to be recognized. It's to mention. It's to recount. It's to bring or keep or put into remembrance. It's in the New Testament, the word means that it's repetition to await for, to intensity. It means to stay in a given place, a state or relation of expectancy, to abide, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, and to stand. No wonder Jesus said, he didn't say, remember my resurrection.
No.
He said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of my body that is given for you. Do this to remember me. Why? Why would he say, remember that when I die, something's going to be birthed. And it's going to be birthed in you. And you're going to, and this living seed that is in you has the capacity and the ability to sow, to be sown, and to produce after its own kind. Lord, to those seeking him at the tomb, he sent his messenger. In Matthew 28:6, what did he say? What did the messenger, the angel, say? He said, he is risen just as he said. And in Luke 24:6, he said, remember, the angel said, remember what he told you.
Yes. He also said, why are you seeking the dead? Why are you seeking for the dead
among the living? Why are you seeking the living among the dead?
Yeah, it's the living amongst the, yes. So that also is, that's why he said don't. That's why your question, did he say remember the resurrection? No. He said to remember me.
Yes.
Because don't remember the death. I was sown
yes.
so that I could live.
Yes.
And in the Amplified, it says following him means to wholly, wholly, wholly conform to his way. So if he died, you die.
That's right.
What do you die to? You die to yourself.
That's right.
When you die to yourself, that's why we have water baptism.
Yes.
That's why he told John, you must do this, because it will also be an example, because he said,
yes.
follow my ways, conform to me, it says
yes.
in the Amplified, wholly to my example. If I died as a seed, you follow me, and so you will also die as a seed. You will show it in your water baptism, and when you come up, you'll come up into a newness of life. So then when you are speaking to somebody else, you will produce more seed because they will want me. But, oh my God, then when the Greeks came, God, I got this revelation at the beginning when Kathy said this, the Lord opened my eyes to this, opened my eyes more to why he said it's to the Jew first. Because what is Israel in the tree?
They're the root.
They're the root. He couldn't go to the Greek first. He'd have been going to the trunk and the branches.
Wow, yes.
He's the trunk. He'd have gone to the branches. It was to the Jew first. Because
yes.
he had to strengthen that what remained.
Yes. Wow.
He had to strengthen the root. It's only in the root that will nourish the rest. So, and if you back up a couple of verses, the Pharisees said, we got to shut this down now, lest the whole world comes running after him. And then these Greeks came, and that Jesus, I said, Lord, that's why you answered what you answered, because it wasn't time for them, because the root had to be reestablished first. Because Adam and Eve lost the root.
Had to be strengthened.
It had to be re-strengthened. And that's what God's even doing in this day and in this
yes.
time. That's why it was to the Jew first, because they were meant to spread the gospel. They were meant to be the root to hold up the tree and the branches. So Jesus said, No, let the seed die first.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll be a rich harvest of others.
That's right. Who have to die.
It said in the Amplified, not just the Greeks, but mm-mm. the Spaniards, the Indians,
yes.
the Chinese,
yes.
the Koreans.
Harvest.
It'll be a rich harvest of others.
Because the Greek lumps everyone into that category, that's or Gentile into that
yes.
category, that they represent the Gentile.
And I said, Lord,
everyone
that's
is non-Jew.
Why you answered them like you did, because it was truly not the time yet, because the root had to be reestablished first.
Mm. And there were those in the root. There was a remnant there that heard. I believe the remnant there got it. Maybe it's a nation. They didn't get it, but the remnant there got him. The root was strengthened. The remnant there got him and understood when he walked on the earth. There was a remnant there.
Yeah.
And that remnant, yes, and that remnant is the one that has the seed, that had the seed of God inside of them. Because, yeah, they were the disciples that went out and scattered it, were they not?
Yeah.
That remnant was the seed. The seed remained in them, and it produced after its own kind. And they are the ones that went out. Remember, he dispersed them? From
yes.
Jerusalem, when hardship and persecution came, the church was dispersed from Jerusalem and scattered throughout the world, which God wanted them to be,
yes.
to reproduce after their own kind, that
yes.
seed in them would reproduce,
yes.
that would give godly parentage.
That's why
spiritual
in the Middle
rebirth.
East to this day, one of the most dangerous signs, and they will still to this day face death if they're caught, is in water baptism. They understand what that means. They understand that that means a death to the allegiance of whatever God
yes.
in whatever country.
Yes.
That when they do that in the name of Jesus, in parts of Africa, Iran, Iraq, all that Middle Eastern, it's amazing that these false religions understand water baptism. They understand water baptism.
And you know that goes,
that you are showing the death
yes.
of yourself
yes.
and you're coming up in Him and you have done away with your allegiance to that.
Right.
And into a new allegiance with this God.
And
you
spiritual.
Can suffer death to this day.
Amen. Because you're denying your past.
Yes.
You're denying who you were. Your lineage there.
So Jesus said if you'll follow after he was talking
yes.
about the grave. He was saying you even die to your own. You die to your own self is following
yes.
me.
Yes. To your own desires. To your own desires.
And you will produce seed. That seed in you. Then you too will produce seed after its own kind in the resurrection. Oh my Father.
And see, that's the difference between the remnant and those who go to church.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or they call
yes.
themselves Christians. That's the difference.
Yes.
The
yes,
difference
it is.
Is that church, Western church as we know it, has become so desensitized to what we do, as we know it as a whole,
yes.
as a church. It's just the truth.
Yes.
It's just the truth. Because these believers in these countries understand really what they're doing. And the reason that I say that the church as a whole has been desensitized to why we do what we do, because you ask them. You just ask them questions. About what they believe or why they do what they do. Some people that even give the tithe, they put the tithe in, they don't even understand the fullness of what that means. They've just been taught to do it, so they do it.
Yes.
But that's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that we taught and that we understand
yes.
what we're doing. Just like with the water baptism. If you've been born again and baptized, you literally have died to yourself. So your actions reflect. You have died to yourself, that you're a new creation.
Yes. Yes.
If they don't, you didn't really get it. You don't really understand
yes.
it.
Yes. That's why the Lord has come to the prophets and said to speak to us and tell us that this is the day and the time. And I believe last year when Mike Thompson saw that corridor that I spoke to y'all, I said, Father, that wasn't for last year. Mike saw it. It was a vision.
Mm-hmm.
But it was for this year.
Yes.
It was for this year when Jesus walked down that corridor and he said, Lord, where are we going? And he saw the multitudes on the side. And the Lord said to just focus and walk with him. And when we got to the end, we were going to walk into the new.
Mm.
I believe that's right
for this
now.
Time.
It wasn't last year. He saw the vision last
right.
year, but it was for this year. But that's why the word of the Lord has come to the prophets and said, I am resetting, realigning,
right.
recovering, redoing that. And the Lord has come to the prophets and said, April, which we just finished April, through September is the most critical time of this year for us to reset the altar from the remnant in this land. And the remnant is the 13 colonies, which, praise God, we are part of the remnant.
Amen. Glory to God.
In the Carolinas.
Hallelujah.
And he said to reset the altar. We've got to pull down. And I don't have a full understanding.
No.
And I am asking God, give us fuller understanding and let us see. And he said, if we will worship for 3 days, and I don't have a clear thing, Lord, are we just worshiping for 3 days? But the Lord said, if you'll go from place to place to place in the 13 colonies and worship for 3 days, from April to September, and if you don't do it, you'll lose the next two generations.
Oh, my God.
It's very critical from April to September.
Mm.
And I have got to re-listen to that word. Tapping into the covenants of old in this land.
My God.
It's so serious.
Mm.
It is so serious. And everyone, praise God, in that meeting, there was somebody from South Carolina that
My
was
God.
In that New Jersey. There was a remnant. There was one, at least one person or a few more from each one of the 13 colonies in that March 6th meeting. And when he hollered out South Carolina, and he or she went woo, and he said shout. He had the whole congregation shout with that one, that remnant that was there from our 13 colonies.
That's what the seed is. It's the remnant.
The 13 also means the many will become one.
That's right.
That's why
That's
he
what
spoke
happened.
Through Hank and said, "Quit calling it America. I call you United States."
Right.
God said, "I call you United States." The seed within itself, the seed that these people
That's
from way
right.
back, my God, God has kept that remnant.
Yes, he has.
And said it will not die.
Yes, he
but
has.
But I will have a people that will rise up
yes.
and will rebuild my altars in this land.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Because if you don't, you will lose the next two generations. You are already off of your timeline. And I am resetting. I am realigning.
Mm.
You have got to rebuild your altars in this land so I can reset and realign to recover and restore to you everything. Everything. Through Kim Clement, the Lord says, watch. This is what I have spoken out of my mouth all this week because the Lord brought it back to me, that one phrase in Kim Clement. He says, watch how I change everything.
Glory to God.
Watch
Hallelujah.
How I change everything.
Everything.
Everything is out of alignment in this land. Everything. Everything from political to educational to hospitals to the medical, everything in this land is out of alignment.
Mm.
God says, watch how I change everything.
Mm.
Watch how I change everything. That is what I encourage myself with.
Because
watch how I change because of the remnant.
Because of one
because
seed.
Because of the remnant.
Because of one seed,
God.
Christ. And because that seed gave birth to a remnant that continues forever, Carmen.
And I so thank
Glory
God because
God.
Somewhere I thought today, I want to read back. I want to read back in Genesis where Abram came from because that was the remnant.
Glory
Abram
to God.
Was the remnant. God says, all I needed was one.
Glory
all I need is one. All I need is one to hear my voice. All I need is one to be willing to follow my voice. All I need is one to be willing to be obedient for the multitude to be saved. All I need is one. All I need is a remnant. All I need is just one little piece to do it legally. Although I own all of heaven and earth, I gave it to you. It was stolen from you. But all I need is one little piece that you would be willing and obedient, and it will open the gate for me to come in legally and restore everything back to you. That's why it pleased me. That's why it pleased me to give you my heart. To give you my heart and my soul. To separate myself and allow my heart and my soul to come into this earth and to bruise it, to let it be hurt, to let it die for you, so that you live again with me. That's why it pleased me. That's why it pleased me.
I shall see my seed.
Yes.
I shall see my seed. I shall see my planting. I shall see my fruit. I shall see my remnant that has been kept for planting.
Jesus.
Woohoo, I shall see it. The Word of God says, He shall prolong His days, and He, in the pleasure of the Lord, shall prosper in His hands.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Father God, thank you, Lord.
And I'm going to tell y'all this, too. That I know that when's just an everyday, not every day, but it's a common thing for us. But right now, every time the wind blows, because the word of the Lord came through prophet again and said that one of the signs will be that I change is the winds this year. So even earlier when that wind went up, I throw my hands up.
Yes.
The other night when I pulled up at Mama's, the wind was strong when I opened the door.
Yes.
And I whispered, I said, Father, thank you.
You've seen it.
I thank you that the prophet said when the winds blow this year, it's a sign that you're here. I am thanking you that you are literally here right now. You are here and I am thanking you. I am throwing my hands up and I am thanking you that right now, before I get out of this car with the door open and let the wind blow upon me, just like I saw that little Korean man, I saw it in that vision and he felt that wind and he said, you are here. He literally meant Holy Spirit. I knew that in myself what he meant when he said, you are here. And I thank you, Lord, that you are here, and it would be a sign to us that you are changing.
Yes.
The changes are coming.
Here,
that is one
we're
of the signs.
Them. We're in the change.
Glory when you feel the wind blow, when you go outside, give the Lord a praise. Give Him a thanks that He is here.
Amen.